following conscious. You may know a lot of them, never think that you got this. Wise words, pay attention to these wise words. And people follow people, but seldom following dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words, pay attention to these wise words.
Well, shit, we're here on another episode of Wise Words. We got a special guest here today, Johnny Cashville.
What up?
Warren Pines is here with us.
Man, I want to start off with, I know you as Rehab, man. So, tell us a little bit where that name change came from, or how you transitioned from one to the other.
Well,
who are you?
I'm Johnny Cashville, man. Yeah. I'm old. Rehab, man, man, the name came from my homeboy, Markel Whitney. We're still friends to this day. Growing up, it was 11th Avenue North, like the Jefferson Street area. I met Markel. I forget how we met. Look, his phone rang. I met Markel, and I don't forget how we met, but we ended up selling crack. It's been years, so I can talk about this. We ended up selling crack on North 11.
We're getting candid now.
Yeah. I'm just going to come on back out with it. I mean, you want to know how the name came about.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I get locked up instead of going to jail, first time offender. They ended up putting me through like a rehab program where I had to go to rehab. So I just kind of disappeared from the block for 17. Young. You know what I'm saying? Still juvenile.
What was the felony amount back then in Nashville?
I mean, I got caught with, like, you know, a couple of...
Before the law of change.
Yeah. But, I mean, I was a juvenile. So, they put me in some kind of, like, little rehab facility and shit, and I did that. And I had to go to a halfway house. So, I was gone for, like, 6 months, and I just popped up one day. And there was a lady, Miss Ruby. Like, we used to sell from her house, and Platinum Bound Records was across the street. And this was, like, everything before everything moved to Atlanta. So, let's rewind it back. So, it was Platinum Bound. There was a record store across the street, and then Miss Ruby lived across the street. So when I come back, everybody's like, Where you been? And I was like, I've been to rehab. So Miss Ruby said, Rusty Ass Rehab, because he used to call me Rusty, because I used to try to rap and shit, and I kind of like, you know, rap sucked. So she's like, Rusty Ass Rehab. And as soon as she said that, my kids started calling me Rehab and Re. And it just went from there. And then, like, you know, as I'm getting older, I would get jobs. Like, I worked at Town & Country Ford in Madison for years, man. And Markel ended up working there. We both were working there. And they had literally put rehab on my fucking work shirt and shit. Everybody called me rehab. So then I, like, you know, got good naturally, just got better at rapping and making music and shit. And then the Rehab Rock, like, this is MySpace days. So the Rehab Rock group was number one with that name, and I was number two. I was catching a lot of, because this is when that sitting at the bar blew up.
Right.
So I'm catching a lot of fans, but they're like, dude, I love sitting at the bar, but bro, this gangster shit's hard. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, fuck, okay. And I didn't even know who that was, you know, and I finally looked it up, and then I finally got a cease and desist order in the mail, and they were like, hey, bro, you got to change your name. And so I kept Rehab. I just went by Rehab, ATM, or Rehab, get money. And I went by that for years, you know, running around with Charlie P and shit. And then that's my dog. And then one day I was just like, man, fuck this shit. Like, I'm going to change my name, you know what I mean? And I was like, shit, Johnny Cashville. Like, I'm really the first time you ever telling the story. Like, there's pictures of Johnny Cash holding me as a kid. My mom and my dad were best friends with Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash's kids growing up, you know, they're from Hendersonville and stuff, and that's where Johnny lived.
June's kids, I guess.
Yeah, they're like best friends. They grew up together. So they were, you know, Johnny was around. I remember my dad telling me this story years ago. Johnny got my dad clean off of heroin.
That's true.
Johnny locked him down. The name of Johnny's compound was Cashville. So that's where the Cashville comes from. For me, is like, I remember driving down there and seeing Cashville on the sign. It says Cashville. And Hendersonville, it's burned down now, but he locked, because my dad was Johnny's pool boy. Like, he used to come over every day and clean the pool and do stuff around the house, take care of the yard and shit. But he was on heroin. And Johnny had just got clean off heroin at the time, so they locked him down. They locked him down and Cashville and got my dad clean. Wouldn't let him leave. Had a steep tin and everything in there. So yeah, and then years later.
That's rough too, if anybody don't know. Coming off
heroin. I ain't never came off heroin.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I've came off of fucking purchase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like that. Probably 10 times worse. But so I remember years later, and I was always fascinated with Johnny Cash anyways, man. I always liked his music and just knowing this story, like, damn, we got my dad clean. I remember my mom, we got the picture, like, oh, look, da, da, da. And I remember years later when I was, you know, probably 11, 12 years old before I moved to New York, my dad was going to, like, Narcotics Anonymous meetings and shit and AA meetings and shit. And he would take me with him. And I remember one time we were sitting in the meeting, and I'm young, and I'd just go and hang out and shit. And I remember hearing, hey, my name's Johnny, and I'm an addict. And Johnny Cash was there. You know what I'm saying? And I remember him coming up after the meeting and hugging me and being like, oh, I remember you when he was just a little baby and shit. So I was always like, loved Johnny Cash growing up, and always wore all black because I wanted to be Johnny Cash. And then I was just like, when I was trying to change my name, I gave myself that name. I'm like, fuck, oh, man, Johnny Cash, yeah, let's roll. Because I wanted to represent the city, and I just got I got him tattooed on me. I love Johnny Cash, man. I just, still to this day, like, that's my, like, I've been drawing and painting all my life, but it took me, I didn't want to do this one, because, and I still don't think it's right, because I'm like, it's got to be super dope, because it's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, it is dope.
You know what I mean? But I still, like, yeah, I can do better, because I got to represent Cash, so. But yeah, that's how that came along. But yeah, no more rehab, man. And I had kids, and I'm like, man, I don't want my kid, my friends coming over and calling me rehab.
Right. I just felt like we had to make the transition. You know,
my barber.
Plus, I was curious of the story.
My barber, just yesterday, I got my hair cut, my barber called me rehab, and I'm like, damn, he's still. And I just thought, like, dude, he's still calling me rehab. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still get it all the time. And I can always distinguish, like, if you really know my music and know me from back in the day, you're going to call me rehab. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're going to say, Cashville or Johnny, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like, we'll be downtown, so I said, rehab, and I'll be like, baby, I got to stop. It's somebody that really knows me.
Right. Yeah, I remember, like, buying CD from you, like, at Slamming and Jamming, like, circa 2002, 2004 era.
Man, they were the days, too.
Yeah, I remember it was an album cover, a mixtape cover. It was Rehab, Get Money. And he was snorting, but the lines was money or whatever.
Yeah, snorting out deals.
Yeah,
I had that on the trunk of my car. I got that Cadillac wrapped and had it on the trunk of the car. And everybody's like, dude, why? I'm like, dude, they're not going to think I'm doing anything. Look what I got on my car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the obvious, but tricking them, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Hiding in plain sight.
Yes, hiding in plain sight, dude. I'm so grateful I never got. I got lucky riding around in that dumbass car.
What was it like growing up in Nashville, man?
Man, it was cool. It was great, man. Well, really, honestly, man, like, my adolescent years was spent in New York. I moved to New York when I was 12 and moved back to Nashville when I was 17.
Okay.
So, New York was, that was really kind of, like, molded me into, like, the music and the hustle. Like, I was hustling at a young age because that's what you do there. You know what I mean? Like,
it's fast.
Yeah, it's fast and, like, I remember being, you know, 15 years old selling weed, you know what I'm saying? Like dime bags, nickel bags, riding the ferry and saying fuck school because the ferry was, I went to Port Richmond and the ferry was right there by the school. So instead of going to school, I'd jump on the ferry and go to Manhattan and, you know, sell weed in fucking Central Park and shit, you know? And 14, 15 years old, kids did that. Kids really didn't do that in Nashville, you know what I mean? Like, so I just learned to hustle and, you know, rapping was like, they were like literally ciphers, like on the buses, the ferries, the bus stops, like little dude, little Puerto Rican dude, Italian dude, Mexican dude, you know, black dude, like everybody sit here and rap, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't really start rapping there. I mean, I picked up on it and started fucking with it, but I promoted clubs because everybody knew me. When I first went there, I went to one school. And then the next year I went to another school where everybody knew me because of my voice. They called me Tennessee. Like that was my nickname, was Tennessee. Mm. And so I linked up, one of my homeboys was a DJ. So we started throwing like adolescents, like teen parties and shit. And I was throwing teen parties and I was bringing home, you know, back then, it was a lot of money for a 15-year-old kid. I'm bringing home $1,000, $1,200 on the weekends, Friday and Saturday night, throwing two parties a week through the summer. To the point where my dad, because my dad moved up there. He was traveling a lot, though. And he was getting jealous because I'm making more money than he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And plus selling weed. So I'm like, and they thought it was odd. I'm like, no, this ain't really just, I'm making a little money selling weed, but I make money off these parties. Because everybody knew me and I was just popular. Everybody's like, let me hear you talk. Let me hear you talk. You know what I mean? So I just talked and just got to know a bunch of people, man, and just kind of made myself relevant in the party world. By the time I was leaving, I was not even legal, not even 18, but throwing 18 and up parties because I started hanging out with the older kids in the neighborhood and shit. And I lived on Staten Island, so most of the kids I was hanging out with was Italian dudes and shit.
Yeah.
Was ever super cool. And New York's crazy, bro. Like, it's not like down here, like, your neighborhoods beef with each other. So you go to another neighborhood, you got to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I got jumped. I won some, lost. Like, I grew up just fighting. And by the time I got back down here, I was like, man, I'm sick of fighting. Can't wait to get back to Tennessee. I ain't going to fight like that no more. It's just how I was there. But, like, from then on, Nashville was great, man. Like, I love Nashville, man. It's my home. You know what I mean? I don't miss New York, I'll tell you that.
You ever go back?
I ain't been back since I left. Uh-huh. We're actually thinking about going back for Christmas.
You got family up there, or what?
My dad. My mom ended up losing custody of me because I told you my dad got clean, so I ended up moving my dad up there. But my dad was a truck driver, so he pretty much just took me up there and left me with my stepmom, which we're still, they're divorced now, but we're still cool to this day. My stepmom and my stepsister and my uncles and. You know, and she was a lawyer. She was a divorce lawyer. So it was cool because she would, like, break me off with $100 every time I seen her. And she didn't really care what I'd done. She knew what I was doing, but she's like, dude, it was normal to her because the kids up there do that shit.
So your dad got clean, and he moved to New York, and you went with him.
Yeah, and I went with him, but he just left. You know what I mean? He just kind of left me. He would come home maybe every other month for 2 or 3 days and then didn't dip out. And just pretty much left me with a woman that I didn't know, but... She was cool. You know what I mean? Like, still to this day, we still talk. Her name's Catherine, man. She's awesome. Like, she was my mama, you know what I'm saying? And then he ended up, like, we never really got wrong, man. Like, we always butted heads because I really felt like he wasn't there for me like he should have been. So I kind of held on to that for a long time.
What brought you back to Nashville?
He pretty much got jealous because I was making all that money and kicked me out. And I was homeless for about 6 months in New York. Just sleeping on people's couches and, excuse my language, but banging different bitches and shit and trying to figure it out. And I was just like, fuck it. And I called my mom and she's like, yeah, you can come down here. And the crazy thing is I came back to Nashville. She's living in Cheatham County. So they put me in school there and I immediately get kicked out of there. And she's living with this dude, she was married to him. And he ended up not liking me. And he ended up getting a fight. And so she ended up dropping me off at the damn homeless shelter. I gotta figure it out. And I figured it out, man. You know what I mean? Like, I figured it out. I wasn't gonna be homeless, you know what I mean? I had to figure it out. Even though I took the wrong route to get there, I got there, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't feel like I made it. I feel like I'm successful. I feel like I'm still working though. I'm not done. I'm on the different things and
shit, anybody that's ever driven is never done, man.
I'm 41, man. I feel like I got another 20 more years left in me where I can get out here and create a new legacy. And I just want to leave a legacy for my children, man, and leave something for my kids now.
You started doing the music and the hustle thing in the streets. How long did that last until you decided, you know, what was the turning point?
Or has there been a turning point? No, I'm kidding.
No, definitely a turning point. I met this little dude out in Cheatham County, man, and he had some Instagram following, and he wanted to do the music shit, and we did it, and it shit took off. And
before you get there, let's talk about Black Fly.
Okay.
That's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Black Fly, as far as the music scene in Nashville, you know, anybody that ain't lived under a rock in the past 15 years knows what Black Fly is.
But just in case they don't, let's tell them who Black Fly is.
All right, we'll let Johnny tell them who.
Man, Black Fly is Charlie P. and Green and myself. They can't take that from me. They know that.
I'm sitting here looking on your leg. So
it's on me, man. That's my brothers, man. I love them to death. We only fell out one time, but it didn't last long. We want to see each other win, man. Started out just like a video company, which it still is, and you know, I think more days now it's just Charlie. You know what I'm saying? Like Charlie's managing, just the plug when it comes to music. If you need some, you holler at Charlie. You know what I'm saying? If you need features from this, he knows everybody in the game.
He does.
He really does. He's just a cool dude. And me and Charlie met. We was doing Charlie and the whole feds came in to Street Flavor and shut them down. And we were in the. I remember never forget when I first met him. We were in the photography studio and. I walk in like, because everybody did, like, I just hated Street Flavor back then, you know what I'm saying? Fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is how it was. You know, you can't be a hater all your life, but right. Hating. And I said, because I knew who Charlie was to then, because we had ran into each other, like, in the streets, like, the after-hours clubs and shit. And you can't miss Charlie. He's fucking 7 foot tall, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I knew who Charlie was, but we never really kicked it. And I walked in, and I said, Charlie P., what's up with Street Flavor? You know, just joking on it like, you know, fuck, man, it's over with, ain't it, Jack? And then we just kind of like hit, we were both in there. It's the wintertime, we're taking pictures, and I come to do my photo shoot. And where it's funny thing is, we're both in there with fur coats on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we kind of hit it off there, and then one time, it was about 2 months later, I walk, I'm out of a hotel on Trinity Lane, I didn't know it, but I walked out. This is the third time we really seen each other. I walked out to him. He walked out of the hotel room. I looked this way. He looked that way. And I was like, damn, Charlie P. He's like, damn, rehab. And I was like, what you doing? He's like, man, I got some holes in there. I was like, yeah, man, I got some holes in there. And since that day was the day that we really, really started kicking it. And then we were just like, man, let's do music. You know what I'm saying? So he had his own little group. I had a group called Buck 50, Baby J, and, you know, some other rappers around me, and Big C, and I was like, dude, let's combine this shit. And we start throwing parties at the Muse. And we're throwing parties like every other weekend. And
this
300 people coming.
This has got to be 07, 06.
Yeah, I'm 06, bad 07, with dates. 08. You're probably right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm so bad with dates. But yeah, probably if you say it. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like we're throwing them parties, man. And like people are coming. This is before it became Black Fly. This is just ATM. And then Charlie pops up like, hey, man, I got an office building with Sunny Paradise. You know, I'm doing this Black Fly stuff. And, you know, Sunny was around. And they were, like, wanting to do a magazine and video. And I was like, I bought a video camera. We shot a video. I ain't going to say dude's name. Some little dweeby dude shot this video for me. And I ended up, he was renting a camera from somebody. And I was like, let me buy that camera. And Green, which is, like, you know, videographer, editor for Charlie. He was living in Cali, and I bought this camera and immediately took it back to the, because I had an office up here too, and I took it back to the office, and I said, Charlie, come here. I said, look, man, I just bought this camera. Call Green, let's get Green to come back here. He's like, Green, look. At the time, Green just did graphics. I said, he can do this shit. Get him back here. So we got him. We both got on the phone with Green for like a week and finally convinced him to come back to Nashville, and then that's when Black Fly really started like taking off, and, you know, they started shooting videos. And, you know, of course, I would help direct plenty of videos. Like, I just had the eye for that shit, like writing treatments and shit, like the Charlie P.
Writing what?
Treatments.
Explain what that is.
Treatments are like the meat and the potatoes of a music video. You know, it's getting your story together, what listening to the song. I've always had a good vision for shit. Like, I'm very creative, and I wish earlier in my career, I would have done like the stuff I'm doing now as far as being creative and let people know how creative I am. But I would like write the treatments for, like, I did one that was DJ Paul, Young Buck, and Charlie P. I wrote the treatment, casted everybody for that video, kind of like directed it to me and Charlie P. did. You know, I just helped out on a lot of them videos.
Remember the video you shot at Stump's Wing Kings?
Yeah. Like, I always try to go over the top for the video. Even though we didn't have a bunch of money then, I would make them videos look like something. You know what I mean? Just throwing the fucking flower around and just doing off-the-wall shit. That we were ahead of people doing that shit. You know what I mean? Like, people wouldn't, you know.
Well, that was before, like, the internet really took off. Or that was in the beginning
stages. Yeah, it was in the beginning stages. Like, if we'd have been doing this shit now, we'd have gone viral for sure. Because, I mean, at the time, only people that were really shooting videos was like Haystack, and he was just standing in a cornfield with a corn cob next to him.
You know what I'm saying? He wasn't doing videos in the beginning.
No, I mean, they'd be on some like handheld, you know, wedding videos and shit like that. Like, there wasn't nothing to them. So I helped out on some of his once Charlie started shooting his, and I ended up shooting, I ended up linking with Northern Lights, and I honestly forget dude's name, and this company called Northern Lights, and I helped him with the treatment and casting for the Don Tripp, Starlito, and Kevin Gates video, which I ended up playing the old Drunk Dad in. It's called Leash on Life.
Leash on Life, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, helped with the treatment and doing all that, then the Go Hard with 3-6 Mafia and Yellow Wolf. I helped on that one. And then all my videos at the time were like, I did all my shit, like Suicide Watch where I kill myself, and then Homicide where I come back 3 months later and they pull my body out of the video, out of the bathroom I kill myself in. You know, shit like that, just kind of going over the top. And I've always been like an actor.
That's a producer mindset, right?
Yeah, that's what I do, man. And I'm kind of like, I've been doing the art, so I kind of like, I had it with the music industry, man. I'm like, I hate it. You know what I mean?
So you want a different angle?
Yeah, I want to be creative, man. I just want to put my art out there and be creative right now. I've done this before, man.
But you know, you said you was tired of the music industry, but you know, we can't name drop to certain circumstances, but. You linked up with an aspiring rapper from Cheeto County and blew him up, basically.
Man, it took off, bro. Like, that was a blessing, man. And it was definitely a blessing, man. Something that I'm very proud of. And I don't turn my back on my brothers, man, no matter what. You know what I mean? And I got nothing but love. And it's just, and I think that's because doing that allowed me to transition from out of the streets into the, okay, I'm a real producer, manager. I'm really that guy now. You know what I'm saying? I got a name.
Dude's a household name now.
He's a good kid, man. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? No matter what, bro, I'm older and I'm wiser and I see things for what they are. And I don't wish harm on nobody. I don't want nothing but the best for everybody, bro. And
it's grown folk.
Man, like, just being that, bro, that shit changed my life, bro. We changed each other's life, bro. And that's why I tell her, and that's my host. I didn't do that alone. I couldn't do it for myself. Right. It had to be somebody had to bring the rest of the sauce to the table. So it wasn't just like, just me, you know what I mean? It was everybody that, you know what I'm saying, was behind that and still are, you know what I mean? Like, regardless of whatever. Bro, we want to see people win, man, and just being able to change my life like that, bro, I feel like I'm in debt to that dude, you know what I mean? Like, I owe you, bro. You don't know how big this was for my family and my kids and, you know, my legacy as a person, and I'm sure in due time that's all going to work itself out because I didn't lash back out, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? Cool. I'll take that on your chin. Just, I love you, bro.
That's grown folk time.
I mean? It all worked out, man. God willing, man. You know, at one point in my life, I probably wasn't like this, but I'm really spiritual now, and I really believe that God works everything out, man. You know what I'm saying? I just sit back and just let God, hand that to God, let Him do with it what He sees fit. And I know my heart, and I know my intentions, so.
Come full circle for sure.
Yeah, man. That shit changed so many lives and helped so many different people. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes even myself or us as a people, we don't realize how much of a blessing we are to other people. Like, if something happened to me today, my household wouldn't run. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be here. I have to keep doing what I do in order for my household to run smooth. And once you realize that, you start moving a lot different. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't get back out there in the streets no more because I need to make it home to these kids every day. You know what I mean? I gotta hustle this art, and I got.
How long did it take you to learn this? Was it a process?
Forever. Yeah. I'm just now getting that in, and I think that has to do with, like, as men, it takes us a long time to grow up. Man, I was 35 years old before I realized.
This ain't the way.
Yeah, I can't do this no more. You know what I mean? I got, I got little kids that look up to me. And I'm still learning to as of right now. Like, I used to, after that, I got on the internet and I'm funny. I like to be funny. So I'm roasting people on the internet, cutting up half. And people love that shit in me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I quit doing it. You
had traction with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got plenty of videos that pretty much went viral. But I just didn't, man, I sit back and I started. And a lot of these people I roast, man, don't take it wrong. Like J-Dub, that's my guy. Everybody knows J-Dub. And I will always be friends with J-Dub. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm roasting J-Dub because J-Dub's bullshit. And I'm on the phone with J-Dub like, bro, I'm just doing this because you're bullshitting. You know what I mean? You got throws, homie, and you get shit straight. A lot of people don't know the backstories to a lot of them roasts. But, and then some of them were just unfair. And
y'all sold it, though. I ain't gonna lie. Y'all sold that thing.
No. You know, we was really at it with each other, but there was no winning with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll go to any lengths. Like, he dresses up like Joker. I dress up like Batman. Just to make fun of him dressing up like Joker. He goes to jail. I don't. I didn't.
Where was you at, though, when you dressed? Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I was at the crib.
He dressed up like Joker and go to jail.
But he's a great dude. He's a great dude. He's a great spirit, man. He's got his life straight now. Talk to him all the time. I rock with Dub, man. That's my guy. But, you know, I realized, like, putting that image out just for my kids, man. Nothing else but my kids. Man, I don't consider it bullying because, like, we come from, that's what we do.
These babies, yeah.
And when we joke on each other, you know, it's jokes. It ain't nothing serious. I don't really want to, never wanted to kill J-Dub. Never wanted to kill, what's her name? Katie Noel. You know what I'm saying? I just thought she was a goofball. You know what I'm saying? Like, just having fun. But, you know, I looked at the bigger picture. My wife, man, like, my wife is everything to me, y'all. Like, she keeps me grounded. And she's like, she don't like this shit. You know what I mean? Even when I'm doing them, her vibe, she leaves the room. She didn't like this shit. And she told me one time, she's like, the reason, I know it's funny, it's cool, whatever, but you got kids that look up to you. Do you want your kids to go to school and think it's cool to make fun of people and shit? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn. I gotta be an example. And then I started, and then I got cyberbullied by 3 million people. You know what I mean? That shit sucks. You know what I mean? But I'm tough skinned, so I handle it well. But then I got to thinking, like, dude, what if this happened to somebody that can't handle that shit, they kill themselves?
What you mean you got cyberbullied by 3 million people?
I just got cyberbullied. You go on there and do your research, you'll find it. they toasted me. Huh. They said I was shooting a gun wrong. I'm like, how am I shooting a gun wrong? I pulled the trigger. Fucking AR. It fucking hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so much shit. Like, it was wild. And I'm cool. You know, I block in the negative. And that's when I really, like, started realizing between that. And all this is going on at the same time with my wife and her telling me to quit and go a different route. And I just thought about the kids. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. And I quit doing that. And I drew a picture one time, man. I drew a picture on a piece of paper and said, hey, look, I can draw. And somebody was like, hey, man, you want to sell that? And I was like, yeah, cash out for $25. Mm-hmm. Next day, I said, damn. I went and bought a canvas, a small canvas. I'm like, $50. I was like, oh, okay. And I just, because I could always draw. I mean,
started making sense.
Yeah, man.
$50 made sense.
You know, when I was in high school in New York, I could have had a full ride to go to New York School of Arts. Manhattan School of Arts. I could have went to art school in high school. I could have went to art school and had a full ride because I could draw. And my art teacher in high school, like, hooked me up with the art director at the Manhattan School of Arts. I could have been in it because I'm naturally, like, I act, I draw, I write treatments. I've got two movies that I wrote that I've never even tried. I just wrote them, comedy movies. Like, I'm funny. I just naturally got that shit in me, and I should have done that. I should have done that, man. I was retarded. I was just too caught up on throwing parties and making fast money and really didn't care about school. You know what I mean? School was like, whatever. And I could have went there and, like, really been super, super dope at the shit. But, you know, it is what it is. You live and you learn. I think about that all the time. Now that I knew I would put my because I quit drawing. When I got into music, I quit painting and drawing because I was just focused on, okay, I'm going to do this music shit. I knew it was going to take everything in me to make it happen. And and then once I started putting it back out there, I was like, okay, I got to get back into this now. And really, man, it's been the most peaceful shit. I don't talk to nobody. I ain't got to deal with nobody no more.
But it's therapy,
it
right?
It is, dog. And then, you know, on top of that, I'm trying to better my life and better who I am as a person. And this is perfect. Like, just yesterday, I don't go live on YouTube and shit. My YouTube's fell off, you know, because I quit getting on there. And now I'm trying to get myself in a new algorithm, so I'm posting art, so it's not doing very well. And I'm not worried about it, because it does well in other places, but I'm just like, damn, and somebody's getting cyberbullied. Somebody's getting doxxed, harassed, cyberbullied, because these two girls on YouTube think that these people are some other people that are cyberbullying them, and they're not. So these are innocent people that are getting doxxed, their kids are getting doxxed, their address is getting put all over YouTube, and these ladies are like, it's you, and they're like, no, that's not me. So they reached out to me, because they're from Nashville, they reached out to me like, hey, can you help us? So I get on YouTube Live, bring them in, and, you know, and just did this whole thing yesterday on YouTube, and like, I'm like, damn, man, I'm back getting views again, but I'm doing something good now, because I know how it feels, you know what I'm saying? It's not cool. I'm really kind of big on it. This fucking cyberbullying shit right now. That shit ain't cool. You know what I mean? Because it's fucked up, man. The internet's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like TikTok and these fake accounts. People do this shit from a fake account. Anybody's ever said anything to me on them YouTubes and...
Why do you think... like
it's fake. They're from fake accounts.
What do you think that is, and why is this happening? Like, what's the
jealousy, man.
The game plan of somebody...
People are just jealous that they're sitting at home jacking off. They're sitting at home in their mama's basement jacking off,
and they want to harass people on the internet.
You think there might be a bigger, more sinister plot to this? Because we always think, man, I'm like you know, it's somebody in his mom's basement or whatever. But you think that there's the powers that be creating these bots and cyberbullying to further divide the people?
That could be true too, though. I never thought about it like that. You might be right. Especially least, like bigger names and shit.
Yeah,
bigger name, but they're at least creating the culture that makes it okay.
And they're giving this cancel culture a platform. Like now, I think they're trying to cancel Russell Brand or something like
that. That's a whole nother.
That shit's ridiculous, man. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in freedom of speech, but freedom of speech comes with a price.
Yes,
for sure. So if you fucking harass somebody or dox people or do it. And you got to be willing to stand on what you do. And if you're willing to stand on that shit, fucking stand on it.
What's your take on the, and I'm gonna go back to some old shit. It was like last year, the year before that, the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident.
Chris Rock should have beat his ass. It's funny, I just went to David Chappelle, and David Chappelle talked about it.
Yeah.
Because David Chappelle said, Chris Rock said, you're the only motherfucker I'll answer my phone for. Because he called him after it happened. Oh, man. That shit was weird to me. At first, I thought it was fake, but I think it was real now.
I believe it was.
It was real, and I think fucking Will Smith is a bitch. And I've always thought Will Smith... I liked Will Smith growing up, don't get me wrong. I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. But after that, he's been a fucking bitch, man. He's a bitch, bro. He's a fucking... He's an Illuminati. I believe that.
Oh, yeah. You think he just saw Chris Rock as maybe, you know, somebody...
He knew Chris Rock. Yeah. He knew Chris Rock couldn't do nothing bad. You know what I mean? Because it would look bad on Chris Rock. Chris Rock ended up looking good because he held his composure and kept it moving. But, I got a lot of black friends, man, and I'm not speaking out of turn or nothing, but y'all are leaders of the black community, bro, and y'all up there fighting on the biggest stage in the world, bro. That don't look good. And I think Chris Rock knew that. Yeah. And I think Chris Rock took the W, even though I feel like he should have went backstage. Look, bro, it wasn't that he smacked him. That wasn't it. It was that he sat down in his fucking chair and enjoyed the rest of the show.
Mm.
That's what, if I was Chris Rock, that wouldn't have happened. No, fuck that. Commercial break, you coming backstage, we're going to get him. You're not coming back out here and crossing your legs and smiling at my face for the rest of the show. That's the point I did.
Being a comedian yourself, where's the line? Because, like, Chris Rock, I guess... Will Smith got mad because Chris Rock was clowning his life about some alopecia and stuff. So is there a line or whatever that ain't supposed to be crossed?
Now with comedy, man, I feel like you should be able to say whatever you want, man. You just, whatever to make somebody laugh, it's cool. Like with the internet stuff, you know, when you start doxing people and putting their address out there and sending CPS to the house and swatting people. That's what they call it. Mm-hmm. When you send the fucking police to people. Now, that's too far. But if you're just joking on somebody about their weight, you know, people are sensitive about their weight. I'm a fat dude. I don't give a fuck. I know I'm fat.
So that, but so
I think as a comedian in that situation, Chris Rock did not say anything out of line to me.
Right.
It's like, dude, what is you know what I'm saying?
So for you, it's more of like a common sense thing of like, man, it's obvious when something's going too far.
Yeah. And I don't even think that was too far. I thought that was funny. Like, I mean, bro, I think there's some. I think there has to be something, some more to that. Like, there's been some shit said between them two or something. Or maybe Will Smith's like, hey, leave my bitch alone before.
Yeah, because I think there's some shit going on with, like, which I guess when you're a celebrity, all your skeletons are like, she was having an affair or some kind of shit, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. He's
carrying all that shit on, you know, so maybe it just.
He wanted to look like a tough guy, and everybody knows Will Smith's not tough.
Bro. Right. Yeah.
Like, I honestly think Chris Rock could take him. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was the thing that got me, and that's what Javis Chappelle said. He's like, dude, he just fucking sit there in the audience and cross his legs and smile for the rest of the night. That's what pissed me, and I got to think about it. Damn, that's what pissed me off, too. It's like, damn, bro. And I'm not the biggest Chris Rock fan, either. I'm a big David Chappelle fan. Like, I look at David Chappelle like he's a goat. That's just me. But, yeah, man, that's why. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like in comedy, bro, there's, you know, talk about what you want to talk about, man. You know, like the whole.
But you're off of the comedy tip for now. You're going a different direction with this art, right?
For right now, man. Man, this is how I am, bro.
But if you're talented at something, man, it's almost you doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's other avenues you can take. You ain't got to roast, you know.
Yeah, no, and we've been thinking about that. I'm actually gonna doing a podcast with the this is what my plans are. I'm doing a podcast with the other two dudes that I work with the art stuff. We're gonna start a podcast up with them, and then I'm starting a nonprofit. My brother died two and a half years ago from a fentanyl poison. Somebody gave him Xanax bars that were fentanyl, killing 23 years old. And it's more like my son. He's been with me since he was 12. He lived with me all his life, pretty much. And it just fucked me up, bro.
Yeah. Like,
just destroyed me. And it still fucks me up to this day. Because he's supposed to be here right now. He went everywhere with me. Like, people like Zane, but don't want to like me. You know what I mean? Like,
that was your brother?
Yeah.
My okay. Brother.
Yeah. No, not that Zane. Mm. Not the one that raps.
Okay.
No, the other Zane. The real Zane.
Okay.
The headbuster. But everybody like, Jelly Roll, Charlie, tell you, fuck rehab, Zane's the one. You know what I mean? That's just how it was. Like, everybody loves Zane. And he was, because he was with me everywhere. You know what I mean? He's with me every day of my life. Every day of his life since he was 12 years old, he's been with me. Well, when that happened, and then I started doing the art, and this art started selling, I'm like, man, what is my legacy going to really be? Because to me, I want to help people. And I'm not rich. I'm not balling out, fucking millionaire or nothing. But I was like, man, if I could take this art and take 25% of this money and put it back into creating awareness of the fentanyl epidemic that's going on. So my plans are to create awareness. I'm gonna start a new YouTube channel. I'm trying to figure out a name for it right now, but I'm gonna start a new nonprofit called Zane Tough, and I'm gonna do a YouTube channel where I kind of like, have you ever seen Soft White Underbelly?
I love soft.
But I'm going to interview like people that are on fentanyl or people that have suffered a loss because of fentanyl. I'm going to interview them. And
is it just fentanyl, or are you going to do, I mean,
I'm probably going to do opiates and everything, yeah. You know, eventually.
Because really
it all kind of comes, like just drug addiction stuff. And I plan on doing that just to create awareness. And then I'm we're in the middle of all this right now. I got the art shit going, got my merchandise going. By the way, I got my merchandise too. You can buy all this shit on t-shirts and shit. But I got that going, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take that, and then I'm going to try to figure out how to get vending machines and just kind of like put them in, you know, drug-infested areas with Narcan in them that you can just hit F10 and drops out a free Narcan. You know what I mean? So
that's big.
To try to save lives, like, yeah,
that's huge.
That's my plan. That's what I'm on. I got a buddy that does a podcast, this freaking podcast, which y'all should go talk to. Real good dude. His name's Ace. He owns a bunch of weed dispensaries out in Virginia. They got a whole fuck fentanyl movement going on right now too. I'm actually gonna go see him probably next month sometime and get him. He's on board, but it's kind of like, all right, I need your help. You know what I mean? Because it's getting that time to like start getting this shit going. Because it's like,
it's refreshing to me to hear somebody, you know what I'm saying, that's about the shit. Actually doing something on the front lines.
Man, like, not just, like, first it was just interviewing the people, and I was like, man, ain't enough. You know what I mean? Like, because if my brother would have had some Narcan, he would be alive right now. You know what I'm saying? So how, and vending machines ain't nothing but $3,500. You know what I mean? Right. Now we got to figure out how to get the Narcan. And I'm sure we can get a lot of this shit free and a lot of, you know, donations. Once I get everything going, I'm talking to my CPA right now about the nonprofit. It's just a hard thing to do, but we're going to get it done. Like this 2024, I'll be launching that next. You know what I mean? I already got the website for all this shit, and like that's because I want that to be my legacy. That's close to me. Like I'm driving down the street, and I'm like, what is my legacy gonna be? You know what I mean? This shit I did with this dude back in the past, or shooting these videos with my homeboy, or this art. No, it's gotta be big. It's gotta be something. And Zane is always on my head, so I'm like, that's what we need to do. And this came to me, and I've been working on it ever since. I, you know, taking the proper measures to do everything right. So it can be something, and it can be something that really helps people, man. Like, that's what it's about nowadays.
Well, once you step into your passion, like, the financial side of shit just seems to work out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once you're doing something that has a big enough why, you know, the money will come.
Yeah. And I feel like, man, you can't keep what you got if you don't give it away.
Yeah, a giver's gain is always.
Yeah, God will always bless you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I've always felt like if you was in the streets and you hustle, at some point, it's time to give back to the community that you took from.
Right? Oh, man, come on.
You know, so that's, you know, I got mad respect for anybody that does that. You know, because you can't just take all your life.
You know what I'm saying? You can't, man. You get more blessings that way too, man. Like your blessings just come when you do for others, you know, and don't be so self-serving. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I've been on this last year, and just figuring all that out, man. It's complicated. Them nonprofits are hard, you know. It's a little journey I'm about to be on to get it going. But once it's going, it's going. And I believe that I got enough people in the industry, and now in the art industry, and people are gonna come through.
I got a business owner that's coming through here next week. He actually has a nonprofit, and you know, so maybe I can talk to him, find out some stuff, and pass along.
No, for sure.
An annual event every year for St. Jude.
Yeah, I was telling him.
Yeah, you should tell me about that. Yeah, I think big, bro. Like I'm not just for Nashville. I want this shit. I want Zane Tough to really like save lives and be everywhere. Yeah. I want to have vending machines in LA.
It starts locally, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Everything starts at home, but I want to build this shit where, you know, I want to save lives, bro, and I want to teach and educate. Because you got to think, man, our kids, like, this shit's dangerous, bro.
It is.
Like, back when we grow up, we could pop a Lord Tab or take a Xanax or smoke a blunt. Even so, put this shit in weed now.
You know it seems like it don't matter who you are now. You know somebody that's out there struggling, or at least I do.
My older brother
yeah,
is a fentanyl and crystal meth and now horse tranquilizer. I found this out last night.
Yeah, and that's Narcan resistant.
Yeah, he's doing horse tranquilizer now. And he's been a drug addict all his life, man.
I got people, you know what I'm saying, that I have to literally, I got to call every day just to make sure they're still alive, you know what I mean? Like, and that ain't.
And I never was like big. I always smoked weed, and I'm still an advocate, like, smoke weed. My partners up there in Virginia, man, they got this shit called, I think it's called SRO or SHO. It's the shit they give cancer patients, but it's pure THC. It's in a syringe. And I done some of it. You put a rice grain drop under your tongue, let it dissolve.
Bro, you'd be so high.
Like, super lit. But what they do is, if you're committed to getting off pills or heroin or
fentanyl, they will give you one of them syringes, they will give you some edibles, they will give you some smoke.
Where is that?
It's in Virginia. It's, what's the name of the store? Their store starts with a Z.
See, Virginia's a commonwealth, too. We're a commonwealth.
Yeah, they're legal there, too. He's got, like, 4 dispensaries up there. And he'll give them, like, if you're trying to get clean, he gives it to you. He sends you home with a goodie bag. Hmm. Stay clean. You know what I mean? And they get, and it's working.
That's awesome, because most of these, so far, the answer, I guess, for the government or the FDA, whoever's buying it, is these clinics. Yeah. Methadone clinics, Suboxone clinics. And it ain't nothing. Yeah, they're basically, you know, they're just taking you on as clientele.
It's harder to come off of that.
Yes, than it is.
To come off of. I'll tell you something that, because I did have a little moment there when Zane passed away that I started popping pills.
Yeah.
And I've never done drugs like that in my life, and I don't know what it was. I was like, started eating perks and shit, and I'm eating 5-6 perks a day, and I'm like, I gotta quit doing this shit. This ain't me. And you know what got me off that shit? Kratom.
Mm.
It fucking worked, bro. But then it was a bitch to come off that Kratom, too.
But yeah, it is.
But it wasn't as bad, I don't think. But I tried to do it.
They're lobbying. Big Pharma does not want Kratom in the States.
I don't know. I see why, because Kratom will give you that.
It triggers the same receptors.
Yeah, it didn't give me high, really, but I didn't.
It ain't as intense.
I went 3 days with no opiates, and I was sick as fuck. I got another little brother.
People don't understand about that detox. If you ain't never been through an opioid detox, you do not know what that shit is like. It's horrible.
That shit's horrible. Boy, my other little brother, Zach, 3 days into it, he comes in and he's like, man, I got you something. It was some Kratom Golds. It's a 5-pack. He's like, you can have it. Take one right now. And I'm talking about, I'm puking, shitting on myself, hurting and shivering. I'm in the bed crying. And I took that motherfucker about 20 minutes later, dog. I jumped in the shower. I put on some clothes. I felt like I was back. You know, I left and ran errands. I'm like, fuck. And I did that shit for a couple months, and I slowly weaned myself off of that. And ever since then, I'm like, nah, never again. Not like that. You know, if I need something, I need something. But
yeah,
never like that again.
You look at it as medicine now.
Yeah, I won't even do it like that. Like, it's like last minute shit. Like, I got to have it. But other than that, nah, I ain't fucking with it. Hell nah, bro. I don't. And I feel for people, man. Like, I can imagine what it's like coming off of heroin. Like, I feel for my brother. My brother Chris, like, it's like, damn, bro. Like, but
I try to get the result of this is if you don't, you know what I'm saying?
My brother Chris, he smoked crack and popped methadones back in that era. He went through every phase, every drug. Then he got clean for like 7 years and was a total different person. And then he relapsed, and now he's on fentanyl, ice, and as of yesterday, horse tranquilizer. And I don't see why. I mean, he's not dead. You know what I mean? He's 51 years old. He's been a drug addict all his life. And I think it's another reason why I just didn't get too deep into doing drugs, because I seen that shit destroy my family. You know, my mama, my daddy. I remember as a kid, like, they being fucked up on drugs. You know what I mean? So my whole family, my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? One side of the family, the other one, no. They're totally against that shit, but.
Showed you what not to do with these?
Yeah, well, fuck, I was like, I was seeing the dope man. He came over and he had the Cadillac and had the bad bitch and had all the jewelry into my. So I was like, I'd rather be him than be my dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's hard, too. Mm-hmm. Man, you got a crazy story. I'm just sitting there wondering, you ever thought about, I know you said something about some movies, you ever thought about writing a book?
Yeah. I have. I've actually been keeping a journal since I was like 22.
Woo!
I've been the little black one, the little black with the white spots on it.
Yeah. How many of those do you have?
Still about 50 of them. Yeah, about 50 of them. And then I lost a lot of shit. I did a year and a half in jail. It's only jail time I ever done, but I did about a year and a half at CWC. And, I wrote in there a lot. And I wrote a lot of rhymes in there, too. That's really all I got off of commissary was a couple bags of chips and paper. You know what I'm saying? Like books and shit. But I lost all that shit, man. I lost a lot of it, but, I mean, it was just all jail stories and shit. Gives a fuck. I'll tell them, too. I remember all that shit. But, yeah, I do plan on eventually one day, one of the times, right?
Shit,
I feel like it's all in timing with all that shit. But I actually wrote a couple comedy movies. I lost one of them too. It was on a, I got one of them, but the other one was on a laptop, and somebody stole it out of my truck. Stole the whole lot. And that was the good one. That was the one me and Zane, my brother that passed away, wrote together. It was called Soul Food. Now, it's called Doll's Kitchen. And it's, you remember the characters, Mama Slabs and Uncle Randy, when I wore the mullet?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so yeah. It's their story.
Okay, wasn't that one have a bottle or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. When you said Mama Slabs,
with the her losing her hair.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's their story. It's hilarious, bro.
What was that? What was the videos that was on? I do recall it.
Drugs. Trying to catch your drugs and cuckoo. There was another one, Welcome to the Trailer, but I can't find that video no more.
I think I remember.
Thanks, that. 50 Cents.
I have to be.
You took Black Fly's YouTube channel down.
Oh, that was over the.
Yeah, but there's another one up there, though, right?
Yeah, the new one, but we couldn't find all the videos.
Yeah.
And I put up two videos. Charlie found like three of my videos, and I had like 8, 9, 10, 11 of them.
Yeah. Mm. So what's next for. For this, what's going on?
Man, Trap Tunes, man.
Trap Tunes.
Art shows, man. Art shows, wearable art until I get cease and desist orders. we get them, we get them, we take it down. But I'm going to do art shows. Of course, that all ties into Zane Tough, the nonprofit.
You sent me a link a couple of weeks ago with
the shirts.
Yeah, so whatever.
The hoodies and
that,
shirt.
I'll get that on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. Throw it in the description. I got shirts and hoodies up there now. My prints should be coming here in the next couple of weeks. I'm just kind of building the site. That's not the official site, but that's like people want it. So let's go ahead and give it to them what we can now.
You got a domain?
No.
So what's the rate?
It's Shopify right now.
So what's the, like, how do people contact you if they want one of these?
Instagram.
Okay. Well, what's your Instagram handle?
Johnny Cashel 4K.
Y'all tap into that.
Yeah, I got, sure. I mean, and they go from, and I do a lot of custom work too. Like, I'm
really, the first one I saw was when I was with Lil Will and we pulled it up.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I love doing that.
Lil Bill.
Yeah, it was cool. That was fun to do. I love doing the custom work, but the price range is just different. You know what I mean? It just depends on
you just gotta
the
bigger ones. Take it as it comes, right?
Yeah, the bigger ones are. You know, I usually do them for like $450. I do them for like $300, $250.
It's all by hand. That's what makes it.
Yeah, I draw it first. I draw it on the canvas first, and then I come back and I use a lot of paint, and then I use paint markers too.
You need to do a time lapse while you're doing this.
I've done a couple of them, man. They just take up so much room in my phone, but I'm about to get another phone so I can start doing them, though. Yeah. I've done a couple of time lapses.
That was so hard right there, though. I like that one.
Hey, but I've been sitting here looking at this one the whole time. I've grown an appreciation for
Escobar.
That one.
Escobar, yeah. I like that shit, too.
And it's so bright. The colors in it kind of draws you in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, these are the ones for the art show that I'm doing now. I'm trying to, you know, I got to have about 10 or 15 new ones to take to the
Where's this art show at?
To Leaper's Fork in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm actually Vince Neil from Motley Crue. His wife commissioned me to do it. He liked the piece that I had.
Is this like just an expo or is this a competition? Can anybody
pull up? Just pull up. It's free to get in. There's drinks there. Food.
What's the date?
October 19th is in Franklin. Vince Neil will be there for Motley Crue.
You did what for him? You did something for him?
Yeah, his wife commissioned. He came to the last show. Vince Neil came to the first art show, and he loved my shit. And you know, man, I'm not like a dick rider or nothing. I'm like, cool, I'm a fan, man. Nice to meet you. I do like Vince Neil. I love Motley Crue.
Right. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah, like, they're dope. But I really didn't. And he just kept looking at my shit. And he walked back and, you know, and he came back and was just staring at this one I did. Betty and Wilma from the Flintstones, but they're topless.
Yeah.
And
they, I don't see that.
Yeah, they told me in the beginning that Vince Neil was coming to the art show. And then last minute, they said, oh, he's not coming. He's got to go out on tour. And in the middle of me doing that was the one I was doing for Vince Neil anyways. But when they told me he wasn't coming, I put Hot Girls Only. And originally I was going to put Girls, 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 hoping he'd buy it. And he loved it. Mm. Without it saying Girls, 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 he loved it. And then he left, and his manager runs this place. I think they own it. I think they own the venue where we do it at. I'm not for sure, but his manager and his wife come back. His wife comes back, his manager comes up to me. She's like, hey, Vincent really likes this painting. I was like, well, why didn't he get it? She said, he just didn't like what it said. I was like, fuck. I was going to put Girls, Girls, Girls on it, but fucking Bourbon told me he wasn't coming. Mm-hmm. So I instead of Girls, 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 I put Hot Girls Only, because I'm thinking a girl would buy this shit. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, will you redo it? Will you do another one? I was like, fuck yeah, it's for real. She's like, how much you want? I was like, nothing. I just want some social media love. Just tell me, post. You got a million followers on Instagram.
Smart.
Yeah. Got you. You know what I'm saying? And then she was like, man, he's probably going to want to buy more shit from you. Because he did. Like, he was, I do, everything's called THC. I got the Hunt Club. I got the Trailer Home Cartel. And I got the Hustlers Collection. Like, these are are the Hustlers Collection. But then I do the Hunt Club, and I put the cartoon characters in the woods, deer hunting, you know, more country type shit, just so I can appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
And he really liked the Hunt Club.
What's
shit.
The Trailer Home Cartel?
Trailer Home Cartel is like all the cartoon characters fucking off in the trailer parks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, that way I can kind of touch every demographic, you know what I mean? THC, and then it kind of like, I'm trying to figure out how to tie it into my people with the dispensaries, because I want to help push their movement too about more THC, less fucking pills. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of their movement. Because I'm telling you, like, I was hurting on the way up here, and I was like, damn, I need something strong, man. My hip's killing me. I started blazing them blunts. I said, by the time I got here, I was like, all right, I feel a lot better, a lot chiller. I need an edible. Edibles always help me with my pain, man.
Yeah.
And that helped me detox too, was a lot of edibles, bro. I was eating the edibles like crazy. And then the Kratom, I was cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about, man, getting off of that shit, man. Keeping
whatever you gotta do to get off of it.
It's hard, man, but you don't wanna die out here, man. It's too easy to die.
Too much to live for.
Yeah, man.
Too many people counting on, like you said earlier.
Yeah. Shit don't move right without, we're the men, man. Shit don't move right without us.
Right. Man, we definitely appreciate you coming through. I got a few questions, though, that we kind of like always ask on the podcast.
Man. Oh, they're cool.
So, while we're here. So the name of this is Wise Words.
Yeah.
So do you have any like quotes that, like, is your favorite quotes that you go to live life by?
Man, my favorite quote is from Dolly Parton. All
right.
If you wanna make it to the rainbow, you gotta go through the rain.
Oh, that's a good one.
I heard that one. I never heard that one.
It's easy. One.
Say it one more time.
If you wanna make it to the rainbow, you gotta walk through the rain.
And that's so true.
And that is literally. And I slick live by that, man.
Right.
I don't think I'd be the person I am today if it wasn't me going through all the bullshit
that
we put ourselves through.
Right.
We realize this now that we're older.
Word.
Man, we put ourselves in some dumb shit.
No, but I can tell you in a good spot, because for one, it's refreshing to hear somebody admit when they was wrong. When you was explaining, you know what I'm saying, when your wife was telling you about the flaming and the roasting or whatever, you admitted you was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that, it takes a man to do that.
Man,
you know?
That's what it's about, man. Like, you got to man up. What's that? Man, I'm all for them quotes.
Yeah, I love them. Let's see.
I can't read up something.
I'll read it for you. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, big dog, sometimes you got to go to war with yourself to fix yourself. Man.
That's true. You got to go to war with yourself. You got to fight them inner demons, man, to fix yourself. So you got to ball, you got to grab them balls and go through it. And it sucks, man. But you got to, man. That's part of growing up, man, part of being a man. I made a lot of mistakes, bro. And the way I treated people coming up, even with the music shit. I got a lot of people right now that won't fuck with me because of how I treated them coming up. You know what I'm saying? Either, you know, can't be a hater all your life. That's got to be my slogan.
That's what twice.
And I really wasn't a hater. I just didn't like a lot of people. Like, I don't know, man. I'm just like, you ain't doing it like me, so fuck you. Yeah. You know, that attitude. But that attitude didn't get me nowhere. Like, I'm just so much at peace. And I've made my amends with them people in my life, man. And And they admitted too, like, man, I hated you too. And I was like, damn.
What would you say to a 21, 22-year-old rehab? What would Johnny Cashville say to
you? You don't know shit.
You don't know shit.
You don't know shit, but you better get it together.
Did you have shit. Who would you consider like a OG / mentor to you coming up?
David Ray.
D Ray, CWB.
David Ray's my brother, man, even though he don't answer the phone no more.
David Ray, he's probably watching this, man. Make sure you answer the phone.
I'll tag him in and make sure he just sees that little clip right there. I say D Ray and that's just personal, somebody that I've always kind of like confided in. It's like, hey, bro, what do I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just random people that I don't know. I don't know.
That was more of the answer I was looking for. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. I always confided in that dude coming up. He always looked up to him like a...
Rightfully so. I mean,
he's best rapper, bro. You know what I mean? Like, real talk. Like, That was the best rapper to me. And he just always kept it real with me, bro.
Very versatile, too. He could sing his ass.
Yeah. Great writer, great producer, great rapper, great person. Great person, keyword, like, you know, I remember, you know, as a young, he's a little older than me. So as a young, and you kind of like, he had the minivan with the white minivan with the Cinefan and the rims and getting the money and shit. And I was getting the money too, but not like that, you know. So I kind of like, I was trying to be like the raps and the, you know, I always just looked up to D-Ray. And I ain't ashamed to admit that. Like, he's a good guy to look up to because he always kept it solid with me coming up, you know what I mean? And he put up with a lot of shit too because of me, you know what I mean? Like, I went at them. At one time, I was like going at them too, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like the 50 Cent character, you know what I mean? Like, I was like a little bully. And I don't fear shit, but, you know, and he would, his friends would be like, man, I don't know why you fuck with him. The fuck rehab? He'd be like, hey, it's my dog, chill. You know what I mean? He put up with a lot of shit through me, man. But he's also seen me grow a lot as a person, too. So, you know, he knows where I'm at with it, man. And I just always looked up to that dude as a person, man, as a family man, and he's just an all-around solid dude. And we've had our disagreements and shit.
So I think everybody has, man. But, you know, it's like,
yeah, we gotta get them boys back on the same page, though, man. I'd like to see that whole wave come back.
Who's the boys? Who are you?
CWB.
Yeah,
crazy
white boys.
I'd love to see Alex and D-Ray and Stump and even Stone. Like, throw Stack in there, throw Bubba Sparks in there too.
Yeah, do like a compilation.
Man, I'd like to see them boys do 6 songs and put out an EP just for the fuck of it.
It would smash.
Man. It really would, man. Like, you know, I don't know what they got going on, or if they got an issue, or, you know, and everybody's doing different stuff, and everybody's going in different directions. And bring some of these newer guys up, man. While I'm on here, I want to shout out one of my, like, little favorite artists right now that's on the come up is Jamie Ray. You know Jamie Ray?
Mm-hmm.
You know Jamie Ray? Mm-hmm. Man, when you look up Jamie Ray.
I'm born with
it. Country Trap. That's what he calls his shit. Dope. And he's a good friend of mine too. We've became friends over the last couple of years. He had a big song going around TikTok. A couple big songs he had going around TikTok, and I ended up paying for a feature for one of my artists, and me and him just hit it. He's just dope, man. Like, to me, he's on tour right now. Him and Bubba is on tour right now. He's just killing it, bro. Like, I really expect.
He's on tour with Bubba Sparks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really expect dude
the younger guy.
Yeah. He's probably late 20, 27, 28, to me, younger.
Your age. Yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's got it going. He's got to deal with, I think he's with Epic. He's with somebody. He's got a great manager. His manager's awesome. So, man, used to be Bubba's manager back in, I think it was Bubba Sparks' original manager. Just great guy, man. Great dude. And just awesome music, bro. Y'all check him out.
For sure.
And, you know, shit, everybody keep rocking in the free world.
I always read a lot of books, man. You got any books that you would recommend?
Man, I've only read 2 books in my life, man.
What's that?
The Pimp, Iceberg Slim.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
I read that when I was in jail.
Yeah.
And I read about half the Bible.
Gotcha.
And I couldn't understand it.
That's a lot, man. It's a lot to take in.
I listen to books.
Audible.
I listen to books, not more than anything. currently listening to.
That counts.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much easier because I do a lot of driving anyway. So it's like, I'll just pop his hand and listen to it. I'm listening to 50 Cent's book right now. What's it called? Man, 50 Laws of Power or something. I listened to that one too.
Yeah.
What was that,
Hustle,
that one?
Hustle Hard, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I listened to that last year.
And it's awesome because he narrates it.
Yeah.
I love the ones that they
say. Yeah. He does the same thing with 50 Laws of Power. I'm listening to that right now. But only books I've ever physically read was Pimp by Iceberg Slim. I read that when I was in jail.
Gotcha.
I actually read it twice.
I watched the documentary they did on that. That's real good.
Yeah, I don't know why. What made me want to read that? I always was fascinated by pimps.
Yeah. And he was a pioneer.
That's my favorite rapper. That shirt. Pimp C is my favorite rapper.
R.I.P. Pimp C. Long live the pimp.
That's my favorite rapper, dog.
For real, mine too.
I think the game would be a lot different if he was still around.
Yeah. A lot of this fuckery wouldn't be going on.
Called him out.
He would be all over.
That's why they killed that. I think they killed that man, bro.
He'd be on their necks, man.
I think the Alpha Belt suit killed that man, bro. I really believe it.
You want to do the rapid fire real quick? We do this little rapid fire thing, man. Just quick answers on it. Start off, are you a morning or a night owl?
Morning.
Indica or sativa?
Sativa.
Dark or clear?
Clear.
Shit. Your favorite spot to eat in Nashville?
I do a lot of eating.
We coming down there. We're gonna pull up on you. Where you taking us?
King's Market. Yeah, it's a Thai food
place. It's a grocery store with a restaurant in it. It's the
I'm gonna take it as a good place here because I know you get that authentic.
Authentic, man. Get you. Call me when you get there, and I'm gonna tell you what to order. You'll be like, oh my god, bro, it's best food ever. You'll never eat Chinese food again. You'll go, I want some Thai food.
Who's got the best hot wings in that? Or, hot chicken in that?
Princess Chicken, the originators.
Princess.
You see, I like having these. But, yeah, what's your favorite vacation spot?
Las Vegas. Well, a lot. Okay. With the kids, anywhere on the beach. Without the kids, Las Vegas.
Fair enough.
I like to gamble.
What's your favorite?
Roulette.
Hell
yeah, love roulette. And I like craps too, but craps table's always wild. Yeah. So I just stick
to roulette. You've been up north and down south, cultured. You got to make we're going to tell you to make the rap Mount Rushmore. Four. Who are you putting on that?
I'm going to get five.
No, four. Mount Rushmore.
It's going to get five.
Do they need to be in order?
No, they ain't got to be in order. They just hit.
Biggie Smalls, Pimp C, A-Ball,
probably pick one, man.
Rhino Church.
I mean, outside of Biggie Smalls, I feel like all three of those get overlooked, you know what I'm saying, a lot.
So, that should be the next thing.
Ooh, that'd be dope. I'm going to buy one of those.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
Good idea. Give us commission 10%.
I'm cool with it.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming through, man. We're going to have to do this again sometime. It's been a blast. Yeah,
cool. Hey, man, have me back. I'll be back in a couple months.
Let's do it.
I'll bring a vending machine, fill up with Narcan.
Let's do it.
We'll put it right here.
Yeah.
I don't want it on our door.